figure it out.
Oh, yeah.
But it's never right the way he does it. You know, if you watch Hollywood, you know, in the movies and different things like that, and even some Christians and stuff like that, you know, the devil, he's like this big hairy thing, can't nobody do nothing with. But according to scripture, especially for the born-again believer, he's nothing.
Right.
As long as we're in Jesus and he's in us and we're following him. Amen?
Amen.
But the title is Spiritual Warfare. This is going to be part three. Now, I've said this, and we're going to go over all of this again, because it's actually Monty did last Sunday, and then a couple Sundays before that, some things that we said. We must know that we have a real adversary or an enemy, and that we're in a real fight. You are in a fight, especially if you're a Christian, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You have things that are enemies that are trying to influence you 24/7. You ever went to bed feeling real good and got up feeling awful?
Yeah.
And be like, what happened? You got something trying to influence you all the time. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 through 11 talks about how that we have an adversary. The Bible says his name is the devil, and he goes by many other names. But in that verse, it says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is roaming about to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. I don't know about y'all, but Miss Scotty was talking about it yesterday. I am a may not.
Right.
Are y'all a may not?
That's right.
You better be a may not.
Amen.
What's that mean? That he may not devour me. What that means is there's going to be some that he can, but there's going to be some that he can't.
Amen.
Who determines that? I do.
That's right.
It's not God's will that he devour me or you. James chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, it says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee.
Amen.
If he's not fleeing, you're not actually not resisting.
Right.
Because a lot of times what we like to do is say, Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus, but at the same time, we're yielding to it. He always saying nothing. I put it to me. I have been before upset at Scotty and saying, Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. How many knows that's not doing no good? Because I'm pitching a fit with Scotty, but I'm trying to bind the devil. You can't bind and yield at the same time. It's just not going to happen. The Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. We know the Bible says that we can be angry. He says, but don't sin. Now, Sandy brought that up, that she thought that that was meant something else. That we could let people know about it. And there are people that have thought that. You know, he says, be angry, but don't sin. He says, but sin not. So that means, you know, I slammed the doors up here, and I stomped my foot, and I rolled my eyes. You're letting everybody know you're upset.
Yeah.
Right? Never to sin. The devil has many names that he goes by. And this is some of them. I wrote it down, the devil, Satan, Abaddon, Apollyon, serpent, Beelzebub, which means one of the definition of that is Lord of Flies. How many knows that when God, the day that God created him, he was not the devil?
Right.
He was actually called Lucifer. But we'll get into that a little bit later. And the thing about him is, he likes us in the ditch either on one side or the other.
Right.
He likes for people to think he's not real.
Right.
Why? Because if I don't believe in something, I'm certainly not going to resist it or stand against it. Right?
Right.
Or he wants you to think, like I said, he's some big, bad something other. He's in every chair. He's in every flat tire. He's in every excuse why you can't do the things that you're supposed to do. He's the reason why your cable bill's so high. Y'all don't say nothing. But when I look, it's not the devil's name signed on the dotted line of the cable company.
Right.
It would be my name or actually Scotty's name, right? Okay, we'll move right on past that one. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, I mean 4, I'm sorry. Now, we've read these scriptures, but these two places, Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 6, there are actual texts that we're getting a lot of this from. So we're going to go back and we're going to read these again. Ephesians chapter 4, I was starting in verse 17, but for time's sake, I'm not going to. I guess I'll have to. Verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, that's kind of like living the way you want to, kind of. It says to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. What's he mean by that? That's not the way Christ is. You're supposed to be born again now.
Right.
If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. What that means is we would say the conduct of the old man. Lost my place now. That you put off concerning the former conversation or conduct of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now notice this. He says, wherefore, putting away lying. You wouldn't think he would have to tell Christians to stop lying, but he is.
That's right.
How many knows the Bible is not written to lost people?
Right.
The Bible is written, letters written to believers. And he says, wherefore, putting away lying, he says, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Lying really bothers me. And the reason why lying bothers me, I believe because it bothers God. I mean, that's actually one of the seven things that he hates the worst, is lying. It's because when somebody's lying to me or lying to you, they're doing the very same thing that the devil tries to do to me. He tries to make me believe a lie is the truth. And the Bible says he's my adversary, he's my enemy. Well, fellow Christians are supposed to be my family. They're supposed to be my brothers and my sisters. And he says, put away, therefore, lying. He says, speak the truth, every man with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. He says, be ye angry and sin not. So in other words, you can be mad. You can have all the feelings of being mad. But don't hit nobody.
Right.
Don't flip nobody.
That's right.
Right? When they pull out front of you, don't flip nobody. I'm not talking about your phone. In other words, how many knows you can feel anger, but you don't have to yield to it? And he goes on, he says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. What's that mean? Even if you have all the feelings of being angry, by the time of the end of the day, before you go to bed, forgive and move on.
Amen.
Why? That's not releasing the other person for their benefit. It's actually for you.
Right.
Because if you don't, it's kind of like Joyce Meyer says, you're drinking poison, but you're expecting somebody else to die. Yep. If you don't let that thing go, there's people that have, it's kind of like making chili. You don't make good chili in 10 minutes. You don't make good pinto beans in 10 minutes. What do you do? You put them on real slow and you cook them all day or all night. That is exactly what he's talking about here.
Right.
Don't let that anger stay in you and cook all day and all night long. Because then you're going to get what's called a root of bitterness.
Okay.
And how many knows you'd rather get that thing out then than before it gets roots? Right? So that's what he's saying there. And there's a reason that he says all this. He says, 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. 27, neither give place to the devil. Or we would say it, don't give the devil a place or opportunity.
Right.
Well, that's the very reason why he said all those things that he said before that. Be angry, but don't sin. Why? Because if you start sinning, you're going to give the devil an open door.
Yeah.
And I don't know about y'all, but I don't want him having no place in my life.
Amen.
I don't want no open door for him to bring sickness and disease.
Amen.
I don't want no open door for him to come in. The Bible talks about in John 10:10 to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what abaddon, apollyon means, destroyer. Those names, when you look them up and begin to study them, I don't want any of that. God doesn't want any of that in our lives.
Right.
You know, and people, I have even thought it myself, you know, with Scotty and other people or whatever. Well, if I don't pitch a fit, he's going to think this is okay. But if I pitch a big enough fit, he'll never do this to me again. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I'm talking about me. Remember, I'm not talking about y'all. Y'all don't ever do none of this. I'm the one that gets out of control. Well, if I'm out of control, who's in control?
Right.
Makes you wonder how come I don't have a coffee table, huh? I know why I don't have a coffee table. Scotty's smiling because he knows why I don't have a coffee table. That coffee table cost me $175, April. I don't have it anymore. You know why? I got out of control and the devil got in control. And I can't blame it on him because I'm the one that yielded.
Right.
Through that anger. But see, that's why God says don't do it, because when that happens, when I do that or you do that, you're giving the devil place. Right. Jesus said the wicked one come if he says, but he has no place in me. There's nothing in me that he can use against me. There's nothing that in me that he can use to get control over me. How many knows God wants every one of us to come to that same place?
Yes.
He goes on in 27, he says, neither give the devil place to the devil. 28, let him that stole steal no more.
Amen.
I don't want to do this. He's talking to Christians. He's talking about non-tithers. Gosh, I didn't just say that, did I? Did that really just come out? I was thinking about it this morning. Actually, that's what he brought to me. When I was thinking about the scripture where it says, let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor working with his hands to have to those to give that are in need. And my mind went back over there to Malachi 3, and the Bible says that the tithe belongs to God. When I tithe, I'm not giving nothing. I'm just handing somebody what is already there. And he says, when I don't, what's he saying? You have robbed me.
That's right.
What is a robber? What do we call a robber? A thief. What does a robber do? They steal. And then he took my mind over to that scripture. It's the only one that I know of. It says, excuse me. What does the Bible say is the root of all evil?
Love
of
money.
Did y'all connect that to tithing? Yeah, that's what he told me this morning. See, tithing is for my benefit. It's not for God's benefit. The Bible says God owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Everything belongs to him. We might be leasers of the earth, but he is the ultimate owner of it.
Amen.
And one day he will take it back. So I actually own nothing here in the earth. Right? The Bible says he's given the earth to the sons of men, but he only gave it to us on a lease. There's one day coming that he's already got set that he's going to take back rightful ownership of it. And everything is going to be then the way he says it's supposed to be.
That's right.
But when I don't tithe and I don't give an offering as he said for me to, then I become a thief and a robber. And then you get over there in that scripture where it talks about how that you can't have two masters. Oh, y'all don't want to go to this one, do you? You can't have two masters. Why? Because you love one and you hate the other.
That's right.
Well, I don't love money. Well, let's see your checkbook. See, I'm not trying to be hard, guys. I'm not trying to be hard. This is talking about spiritual warfare. But we don't usually see it this way. Who is it that's influencing me not to give God the tithe that he says belongs to him? Who is it that's trying to tempt me and test me not to give God the tithe so I'll be a thief and a robber so he can come in my life and rob and steal and kill?
That's right.
And the Bible talks about you can't serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. You can't serve God and mammon. Some people think that word mammon means money, but it don't. That was actually a deity that they worshipped back in those days that was called mammon, that was linked to money. See, when I give God the tithe, what's already his, and I give him the offerings, he says he will rebuke the devourer, the seed eater, off of my seed.
Right.
I don't know about y'all, but to me, that's like putting seven dust on my tomatoes.
Right.
In the spirit realm. But see, when I don't, I disobey God. It's not that God curses me. Do you understand there's a blessing already set on obedience, and there's a curse already set on disobedience?
Right.
And I choose. God doesn't curse me every time I don't obey him. It's already on the backside of the disobedience. But God says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. And then if we ain't got enough sense to figure it out, he says, choose love. Right? He tells me which one to choose. He tells me, choose to be a tither. Choose to be a giver. Why? Because this is the way of prosperity. Pastor's been preaching what now? 2 or 3 weeks on prosperity? Now, he's not just talking about money. How many knows if I have divine health operating in my body, that is absolute prosperity?
Man, man.
If I've got sickness and disease, it's robbing me of joy. It's robbing me of peace. It's robbing me of health. I'm going to the doctors trying to get better. It's robbing me of wealth. Right? So my health is prosperity. Having a sane, sound mind, I'm telling you, is absolute prosperity.
Yeah.
So it's not just about the money, but how many knows everything in my life is connected to everything else?
Amen.
I can't just be a Christian in here. I have to be a Christian in here. I have to be a Christian at home. I have to be a Christian at the grocery store. Right?
Right.
But that's what he told me. He said, you can't serve God and mammon. So see, when my heart is right and I give to God out of a heart that loves God and wants to obey God based upon the word of God, it keeps my heart from that spirit of mammon. Y'all ain't saying that. It keeps me loving God and away from that spirit of mammon that becomes the root of all evil. The love of money becoming the root of all evil. To where, y'all saying it, I'm sure. To where you got kids? Oh, you love your mom and daddy until they die. You love your brother and sister until your mom and daddy dies, and then you don't see them no more because y'all split because there was some money.
That's right.
And you're a Christian.
Right.
What happened? You understand this is spiritual warfare? There's somebody behind the scenes talking to you day and night. And it didn't just start when your mom and daddy died and left some substance. Do you not realize it started over here when God was trying to tell me, give me what belongs to me? I love you. I have a plan of prosperity for you that you don't even need your mom and daddy's inheritance. You can give it all to your brothers and sisters and walk in love toward them, and I'll bless you abundantly.
Yeah.
Oh, he lies. You have never, ever in your lifetime met anybody any better at lying and deceiving than the devil is. He's been doing it for millennia. And if you think you can outsmart and outwit him, you got another thing coming. Now, the Bible says that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. But he doesn't say that just because you're a Christian. Jesus said, those who follow me shall not walk in darkness. He didn't say those that are saved. He says, those that follow me.
Yes.
You understand that means your daily walk?
Right.
And when he says tithe and give, me and Scotty was sitting in a service one time. I'll never, ever forget it. Never. Any one of us. We both learned a very valuable lesson. We were sitting in a service one time, and we had just bought a new vehicle. It wasn't brand new. It was new to us. And God was beginning to prosper us a little bit. They weren't cutting our lights off every other month, but we didn't have much left over. We were sitting in the service on a Tuesday night. We had a half a tank of gas in this Blazer that we had bought. Excuse me. And we're sitting in the service. There's a visiting minister that night, and they're taking up an offer. Well, Scotty has $2 in his billfold. I know how much money we have. He has $2. That's all we've got. Travis, he's about 2.5 years old, maybe not quite that old. We don't have any loaf bread at home for sandwiches or anything like that, you know. And we're sitting in that service, and God speaks to my heart, and he says, $2. Give $2 in that offer. He speaks to Scotty's heart at the same time and says, give $2 in this offer. I look at him, and he looks at me, and I said, I think we're supposed to give $2. And he said, yeah, I think so, too. We didn't give it, Johnny. We thought we was hearing from God. Now, we're baby Christians. We haven't been saved all that long. And we don't know some of the stuff that I'm telling you. We don't know about this tithing and this giving and this receiving and all this stuff in God's way of prosperity. All we see in here is the devil sitting in our ear saying, that's the last $2 you got.
Yep.
That's the last $2 you got. And some preacher up there preaching don't need it. So we didn't give it. Service goes on. How many knows God will take it? Because that man has a need, and God has promised to take care of his needs if he serves him.
Right.
So he needs a certain amount out of every person in that service if he's going to meet it through those in that service.
Yeah.
So he had to get an extra $2 from somebody else. Mm-hmm. Anyway, make a long story short, we go to leave. We get out there to that Blazer. It won't crank. Just will not crank. Brother Brad says, well, maybe it's out of gas. He's a smart one, I'm telling you. I love him. He's a very smart one. But anyway, he says, maybe it's out of gas. Scotty says, no, we got to have a tank. You know, it says right here. Well, because it's new, Brother Brad says, maybe the gas hand don't work. But now we believe it's half tank gas in there or whatever. Excuse me. So anyway, for some reason or another, what is it? Y'all straight bar the fuel pump? Make that sound. I can't make that sound. Yeah, it's not working. It's not doing that. So it's not working. So anyway, they go get a gas jug. And lo and behold, Brother Brad takes Scotty to the store. And he takes that $2 that was supposed to be put in the offering. That's all we got. And puts it in $2 into that jug and brings it back and pours it in the Blazer. Still, it won't.
Right.
Yeah, he didn't want to sell it again. They still got it wired up. So I'm supposed to be making that sound, mate. I can't do that. And it's not. It's not doing nothing. So anyway, you know, they leave it all hooked up and everything, and Brother Brad takes us home. Well, he goes to my granny and papa, or papa, the next day and borrows the money, buys a fuel pump, comes over there. We go up there to put the fuel pump on, and before we get into the parking lot, we can see a big wet spot around our blazer. And we pull on the parking lot, and it's doing what?
Running.
You got to do the sound this time. It's making this sound, and it's loud. The one he made a while ago. You know what? The fuel pump is running. You know what happened?
Run all the gas.
The disobedience brought the backside, a curse on the backside. It took my $2, and it took my half a tank of gas that I had in there. Y'all ain't saying that. Why? God told me what to do. God wanted to bless me. God wanted to get more to me. What does he say? He says, give and it shall be given. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give into your bosom. Ain't that what it says? Okay. If I'd have just believed what that said, I would have did it. But I didn't at the time. I didn't really know nothing. But Johnny, I'll never do that again. Never. I will never, ever do that again.
We never put a fuel pump on there ever.
Yeah, I wasn't finished yet. Don't start talking now that you won't know the sound. I'm in control right now. I have to catch it when I get home anyway. But yeah, we didn't put a fuel pump on it because making that sound he won't make. We get some gas, we put in it, we take it home, we never have another problem with it again. Why? The blazer was not the problem. God was showing us, do what I tell you to. See, God teaches us all about prosperity if we'll just listen. He teaches us in his word. He taught us a very valuable lesson there. Johnny, that $2 didn't do me a good, been a good. The devil came in and he killed, stealed, and he destroyed. Scotty didn't put a fuel pump on that. He gave the money back to Papa. That fuel pump was still on it when we got rid of it years later down the road.
Right.
Why? The fuel pump wasn't the problem.
Right.
Now, listen, if you're not a tither and a giver like God says to be, ask God to help you. Because I'm telling you, it's not in working 7 days a week.
That's right.
Me and Scotty, and I'm not bragging on us, and God knows it. I mean, a lot of my family is here, and they don't even know some of the stories that I tell, because I didn't go see them a lot. Scotty was real bad jealous. I mean, I was thinking about it last night. I mean, he mopped my sister's hair with a mop that he mopped up dog puke with. He shot a bottle rocket at her when she was standing on the porch and exploded. I mean, just all kinds of... He was mean to anybody that I cared anything about, Johnny. Because he was so jealous. It didn't matter to him if he was a girl or a boy, a sister, a brother, a mom. It didn't make any difference. So I didn't go around a lot. But I mean, I have slept in the car. I have took a bath in the river. It's hard to shave your legs in the river. Why? There's still sand flowing in the water. And don't ask me how I know all that.
That's right.
I tried it. There's still sand flowing. The river's flowing. There's a little bit of sand in that water. But I have slept in the car. I'm talking about just one night. I've slept in the car. I've took a bath in the river. I mean, Scotty has stowed everything in the yurt. I mean, all kinds of things. But I can stand here and tell you this morning, it didn't come overnight, but I can have pretty much a lot of stuff that I want, April, that I just don't want nothing. I didn't used to have a savings account. I have a savings account now. At one point, we owed on everything that we had, every vehicle that we had, and they wasn't running half the time, and you still owe more on them than what the loan value of them was worth. I don't have those problems anymore. All my vehicles are paid for. And do you understand? It's not because Scotty's so smart. I know y'all might think he's all that smart because y'all see him here when he's under the anointing. I know the man when he's just Scotty at home. There's sometimes he's dumb as dirt. And I don't mean that. I don't mean that in a bad way. Now, before he got saved, I mean, he'll tell you. He slept through the 8th grade, got kicked out of the 7th, you know what I mean? And I only went to the 8th grade, and I failed it. I mean, so we have no, what you say, education. I know y'all can tell pretty much a lot of times. What I'm saying is, we didn't get where we're at financially because he's so smart or I'm so smart. We didn't get where we're at because our parents or grandparents or somebody left us a big inheritance.
Right.
His mama, his daddy died, he got nothing, he got his daddy's shotgun. That I mean, I don't know how much the thing is worth, not very much, you know. His mama died. I sent all of his brothers and sisters a check for $114 and some change and paid all of her bills. Y'all ain't saying that. So it's not, it's kind of like Abraham said, I will not take anything from you because ain't no man going to be able to say they made Abraham rich.
Amen.
Can't no person on this earth say they made me and Scotty what we are today. Because they have not. Now, has people helped us? Sure they have. But what I'm talking about, has somebody left us some big inheritance? Has somebody paid my bills all the time? Absolutely not. There's times that I didn't have my next meal. I mean, Travis is 16 years old at one point, and all I've got in the cabinet is a half a jar of peanut butter and a can of cream of mushroom soup. I don't have another meal, per se, to fix. But now I can stand here before you today, and I can tell you, I have some money in the bank. All my vehicles are paid for, pretty much, just about. All I own is my house. And like Scotty said, if I really wanted to get real technical, I might could scrape all my assets together and just pay it off.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
To where I would be in the earth and I owe no man nothing except to love him, as the Bible says. But I didn't get there because Scotty's so smart. I didn't get there because I'm so smart. We didn't get there because family paid all of our bills or paid off stuff for us or something like that. We didn't get there because he owns his own business. Anybody that knows that owns your own business, you better have faith in God.
Right.
Especially when there's a pandemic or a recession. We have actually, this church and us, and I've heard testimony of some of y'all that was tithers and givers that actually increased through the pandemic.
Right.
We had someone that had told someone, and they told us through the church, you know, that loan that they was giving out to churches and businesses and things like that. Y'all remember that? That you could give during the pandemic time, that they would give you this loan? Y'all don't know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
loan knows what I'm talking about. Anyway, they would give you a loan. And you can pay it back later. Well, someone suggested that we do that for the church. And Scotty told him, and I told him, you know, the church doesn't need a loan. Number one, the church is not in debt. It might not be the best looking thing around here, but we don't owe nobody for nothing. So during the pandemic, actually, all we done was increase in finances. That was some of y'all, we wasn't having church, and bless your little hearts. Y'all loved the Lord and know God could see it and wanted to tithe. Y'all saved your tithe for a month or longer. Then we started, you'd either mail it to me or bring it down here and I'd come down here and get it, you'd call me or something. Or when we started having our services outside, y'all'd start bringing it to me. Here, I mean, some of y'all had your date on it. This is January this, this, and this, and this. And then others of you, I don't know what y'all done. Eat it, I guess. I don't know, and I don't care. Ain't none of my business. But I can tell you, I've heard the testimony of every one of y'all that did that.
Yep.
Some of them got raises during the pandemic. Others got took care of a different way. Why? God honors those that honor him. It's not just about the money. God doesn't need my money.
Right.
You understand that? God doesn't need my money. God can get it from anywhere he wants to. There's times that people in this church, they wasn't tithing and giving like they were supposed to. Finances was getting a little low. This is a long time ago. God sent it out of other states.
Yeah.
Money to this house. Why? Because he is going to honor those that honor him. We tithe this church. We're in partnership with other ministries that we give to finances out of this church. And I'm not saying that to boast or brag or anything. I can't boast or brag on anything other than God.
Amen.
And being obedient to him. And any time that I have been disobedient, I have reaped the curse, the results of that disobedience. And God didn't want me to. He was trying to tell me the whole time, don't go that way. Give the $2 here. I want to give you more than $2. But I disobeyed, and I lost how much ever it was. I had to take gas in my vehicle plus my $2.
Right.
Sometimes people don't do what they're supposed to out of fear. When you don't have faith there, you're going to have fear. That's how come it is so important that you have the Word of God on your situation, whatever it is. Whether it's on tithing or it's on giving. There's so much blessing to the tither. I mean, just in Malachi 3, he says he'll open up the windows of heaven. That's an awesome thing. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want the heavens shut up to me. In the natural, do you know what that means? You wouldn't get no rain? Say you live by your crops, and you got a shut heaven, and it's not going to rain. You're going to have a drought. You're not going to get no crops, Johnny. It's not going to be good. Do you realize it's the same way in the spirit realm? But the devil will tell you, oh, you just got to get another job. It is not coming that way. Especially when you're born again and in the kingdom of God. Why? That's kind of like we used to rely real heavily on my granny and papa for finances, you know. We didn't do right with our money. The little bit that we had a lot of times, and we would have to go to them, you know, and borrow and pay it back the next week. We always paid them back, so they always loaned more and everything, you know. And so we depended on them, Sandy, a lot. You know, if we got trouble or something broke, something tore up, we'd go to them, borrow the money, get it fixed, get a washer, whatever it was we needed, pay them back. And that's how we lived for a pretty good while. But as being a Christian, there come a day that God said, no more. I love y'all. I love you, Granny and Papa. This has been okay, but no more. Why? Because Granny and Papa cannot be my God.
Right.
Granny and Papa cannot be my source of supply. Granny and Papa cannot be my blessing. It has to be Jesus. And there come a day that he said, no more. You don't go borrow no more from them. You trust me. You say you trust me. You say you love me. Okay, let's do it there. When a need rises again, don't go tell nobody nothing. Don't ask nobody nothing. You trust and depend on me. You do what I tell you to do. You tithe, you give wherever I tell you to and all of that, and I will supply. And Johnny, I'm telling you, that was a good thing to have. Because now I don't have to have nobody. There's times even Scotty, you know, that I bypass him. If he don't want me to have something or whatever, or he don't like it or whatever, I go to God. I can bypass him.
That's right.
Without being unsubmissive and pitching a fit.
Amen.
I don't know why we had to get off on all that. Other than somebody needed it.
Right.
Because listen, God has a way of prospering his people. Financially, physically, in our minds, our relationships, every area of life, God wants us prospered and blessed. But he has a way of doing it, and it's his way. And it's not any other way. I mean, I had somebody come to me one time. I was talking about tithes and giving and stuff like that. And it's not because this church needs your money. Do you understand? The church don't need your money. Our first light bill here at this place, after God told Scotty to start this church and convinced me to come and everything, our first light bill was $54.17. The instant I saw that light bill, I thought of Isaiah 54:17. Y'all know what that says?
No weapon
formed against me shall prosper.
Amen.
And every tongue that rises up against me, thou shalt condemn. So you know what? I took that as God was speaking to us, Johnny.
That's right.
Because we don't have a clue what we're doing. We're just trying to obey God.
That's right.
And God said, no weapon formed against you going to prosper. They go form, but they won't prosper. They won't take you out if you'll keep listening and yield it to me.
Amen.
I won't allow it.
That's good stuff.
But if you don't, he will. And it's not the will of God. He says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. Notice this, that he may give to him that needeth. I thought, huh. And then I thought about the scripture. It says, give, and it shall be given, right? He says right here, okay, work your job so you have to give to people that they need something.
Right.
You don't work your job to supply yourself.
Right.
I get one right. You don't work your job to supply your needs. God says that's his job. Men, a lot of times, I know Monty was, and I'm sure he probably won't care for me telling him. If he does, he'll forgive me. Won't you, Monty? But a lot of times, this is ingrained in men. Because you are the man. It's your job, man, to take care of your wife and your kids and provide. I don't find that in the scripture. Y'all get really, really quiet. This sometimes is so ingrained in men, it can be absolutely wrong that they feel like it's their responsibility. But I don't find that in Scripture. I find in Scripture it's God's responsibility to take care of his children, whether they're a man or a woman, a boy or a girl. Right? Now, I'm not talking about some deadbeat want to lay on the couch all the time while the woman goes to work. That's not right either. Everybody has a job. Everybody has a place they're supposed to be doing, you know. In a household, I mean, a little kid, they get up to a certain age and then it's pick these toys up. I'm not picking these toys up no more. Take that garbage out. Wash them dishes. Get out and mow that lawn. What's the matter with you? You know, everybody should have a part in the kingdom. Everybody should have a part in the family. But the responsibility of taking care of everybody does not fall on a man because his gender is male. It falls on God, and the whole family should be trusting God and not putting pressure on the husband.
Amen.
Why? Because he's not your source, wife.
Amen.
If I want something new, I can sow me a seed, and Scotty don't have to know nothing about it and reap me a harvest. Why? Because God is my God. He don't have to just bring it through Scotty. He can bring it through whoever he chooses. Gosh, we ain't even going to get off of this point today. It says, let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Now look here at Ephesians 6, verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, not strong in you.
Right.
Some people's real strong in them. That's not what he said to be strong in. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not your might, not how many hours you can get at work, right? Y'all ain't saying nothing. Not how many hours you can get at work. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now notice that he didn't say stand against the devil. He said that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That is what's coming at you day and night. When you look up the word wiles, it means tricks, delusion, deception. I mean, all kinds of evil like that, down those lines. And that's the thing that is coming at us 24/7. Now, I told you, you'll never meet anybody slicker than the devil.
That's right.
All right, think about it. He's in heaven. And the Bible talks about he is, God created him, the anointed cherub that covered. So he's anointed. He's a cherub. He's up there. Now, he rebels against God, right? We read that some of that last week. I was going to do that today, but we're not going to have time. Okay, he begins to rebel against God, saying, I'm going to ascend my throne into the heavens. I'm going to be like the Most High God, blah, 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 blah. But then, Sandy, he must have been really good at it because he took some angels with him. You're talking about angels that stand in the very presence of God Almighty himself day and night. That I don't know for how long they have been there. And he deceived them and got them to go with him,
right,
in his rebellion against God. So you know he's got to be good at what he does. Some believe it to be a third because of what it says in the book of Revelation. They draw a third of the stars. You know, I don't know how many they was that it went with him. Those are what we call demons.
Right.
There's only one devil. You'll see in the scripture it'll say devil, but there's only one devil. That actually should have just been no S on that. There's only one devil, but there's many demons. I don't know how many demons there are. But, I mean, he was good enough that you got Adam and Eve. Adam, what the Bible says, was created in the very likeness and image of God himself. Don't have a clue what sin is. Adam is created in the image and likeness of God, the Bible says. Eve is created in his image and his likeness. They're together. They don't have a clue what sin is. It's like paradise, heaven on earth. There's no sickness. There's no disease. There's no briars. There's no thorns. You don't got to work to get something to eat. Just go grab it off a tree. And God told them, he said, eat of anything you want to. I'm paraphrasing. He says, but not that. That's mine. Don't that sound like the time? Gosh, don't we keep going back to that, don't we? Must be real important, reckon?
Yeah. Yes.
Because if God says don't do it, don't do it. He's not saying don't do it because he's so powerful and, you know, wants to just run everybody. He's got a complex.
Right.
That was for our benefit.
Right.
But there was another tree there too, April. They could have eaten it. It's called the tree of life. But they didn't eat of that one to stay in the state they was in. He got them to eat of the other. Go over. Let's go over there and look at it. Genesis 3. Most of us probably know this story. This is where it all began with mankind. Now we know the story. He's already deceived how many ever he deceived. He got them to go with him, got them all kicked out of heaven. You know, Jesus told him, he said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like light. Right? Listen, and this is another thing he likes to do. He is just right up there with God, boy, right on that level, you know. Don't dare him. I mean, he's just something else. And God said, you're gone. That's how quick that was. Y'all know a flash of lightning, right? It's just so fast. Sometimes all you see is just a little white flash. And that's it. That's how fast he got him out of there.
That's right.
So he's nothing compared to God. Now notice this. It says, now God had told him, he said, you can eat freely of every tree out here. He blessed them. He told them what to do. He said, be fruitful, multiply. He says, but of this one over here, he says, don't eat. Yeah, we all know that, right? Verse 1. Now the serpent, now Satan is working through the serpent, was more subtle. That word subtle means cunning, conniving. He noticed it. More subtle, more cunning or conniving than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Beware of conversations that start out in your mind like that. God said, what? Well, you ain't even told me who you are yet. And beware, because the Bible talks about how Satan himself is transformed as an angel of the light. He never comes at you sideways like being the devil. It's always as an angel of the light or truth. Right. He goes on here and he says, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said. Now that's why I said you need to know whatever God has said about your situation.
Right.
Right? Whether it's supplying your needs, whether it's tithing, whether it's giving, your relationships, whatever the case may be, you need to know what God said about it. He goes on and he said, she said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Listen, this is exactly how he comes to me and you. Whether it's through a person or whether it's through thoughts right up here.
Right.
Thoughts are spiritual. Have you ever seen a thought? Can't say them, they're spirit. Jesus in John 6:63, he said, the words I speak unto you, he said, they're spirit and they're life. The words Satan speaks are spirit and death. And he's either speaking them through somebody or he's speaking them to your mind, just like he's doing to her here. In verse 5, for God doth know, well, 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. You should have cut that conversation off right there. When you know what God has said about something, and you start having thoughts contrary to what God has said, or people start talking to you and telling you contrary to what you know the scriptures have said, cut it off right there.
Right.
Why? You'll cut the head off the snake right there, and you'll never have to deal with it. But if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. It says, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, now look what has happened to her here. She knew what God said. She told the devil what God said, right? And then because he keeps on talking, now she's starting to look at it. You realize this is what me and you do?
Right.
He keeps on talking and gets you looking now. Gets you off of what God said and gets you looking. He goes on here in verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Well, I know I shouldn't be watching this porn, but you know. Yeah. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing.
Right.
I know I shouldn't be looking at that guy, but you know. Looking don't hurt nothing, Johnny. Oh, that's how it starts, honey.
That's right.
See, Scotty does a lot of shopping on his little list on Facebook, shopping things, whatever it is. And I say, what are you doing? I'm just looking at so-and-so. And then you hear ping, and I say, who are you talking to? I just asked them how much they want for so-and-so. I said, what you going to do with that? I don't want it. I said, that's how it starts.
Right.
Now, watch it. You'll be buying something. I'm not kidding. This is exactly how it works, and the devil knows it. That's why he's doing it. He goes on here and he says, and that is pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. The first thing they began to do after they sinned was take care of themselves. Reckon why that is.
Shame.
God has taken care of them the whole time, Sharon. Now we got to stop there, actually, because our time is up. Does anybody have any questions? And we're not nowhere near done with this. But can you see how he operates? He is so smooth. And he is what I would call a silver-tongued devil, boy. The more he talks, the deeper and thicker he lays it on. Does anybody have any comments or questions or anything you'd like to share before?